Hello. Thanks so much for joining us for Market Sense. I'm Heather Hedges with Fidelity. So the first quarter has wrapped. What a strong finish to the quarter for some of the major indexes. The Dow and the S&P 500 both hit record highs last week. The S&P actually just had its best first 3 months of the year since 2019. And historically, we know that that kind of early surge has been an encouraging sign for more good things to come for the stock market. So pretty encouraging. And we also got some encouraging news last week about the U.S. economy's growth. So to talk today about what that might mean for investors, we are joined, as we often are, by Fidelity's Director of Global Macro, back from a couple of weeks off, Jurriaan Timmer. Also, with tax day right around the corner, our topic today is taxes with a focus on investment income. We've got Leanna DeVinny, a Massachusetts-based branch leader, with us today to answer all of our burning questions, including what investors are paying. And she's got some suggestions on ways that we could potentially reduce our investment portfolio taxes, of course, our capital gains, not just around tax time, but really anytime we are making investment decisions. So looking forward to the conversation today. Thank you both for joining us. Jurriaan, you've been missed. Where in the world have you been?
I was in Holland for my mom's 90th birthday. So we corralled 12 different Timmers, three generations, all descended on my parents' house for her birthday. So it was a milestone worth celebrating, of course.
Happy birthday to mom.
Well, good to see both of you. Yes, and we want to know what your mom drinks, what she uses on her skin, Jurriaan, what the secret is to the Timmer ability to live in your 90s. And
my dad's 96, so he's got her beat.
Amazing. You've got great genes, Jurriaan. I'm very jealous.
I think that means you're going to have to listen to me for the next 40 years or so.
So you're not retiring, Jurriaan?
No.
Okay. We love that. We want to keep you for as long as we can. And before we begin, we just want to remind you that you can ask questions of Jurriaan and Leanna. You can pick their brains. If you're watching on YouTube or if you're watching on LinkedIn, leave a comment in the comment section under the video player. Or if you're watching on Fidelity's website live, there's a feedback poll. So you'll want to tab over from that feedback poll and you'll see a comments area there. And one reason I really wanted to highlight that is because we are making an early appeal right now to get your questions and comments for next week's episode. So next week, we're talking about America Saves Week, which Fidelity is a proud sponsor of. And the theme of this year's America Saves Week is saving for what matters most. So we would really love it if you would write into us and tell us what matters most to you. You know, what are your goals? Where do you see yourself in a few years? Please weigh in and, you know, we will try to help that guide our conversation as we write that conversation for next week. And also, you might hear some of your thoughtful comments in next week's episode. So stay tuned for that. So with that, today is Tuesday, April 2nd. You know, Jurriaan, it's been a few weeks, like I said, so I think it makes sense, since we haven't talked to you in a little bit, if you could just give us a quick market checkup, first of all, sort of set the table for us on where we are right now. As I mentioned, the market continues to reach all new highs, so that's really exciting. Yet at the same time, we've been talking about this a lot on this show. There's still a lot of cash on the sidelines. Some investors still seem wary about jumping into the market, possibly because they might, at this point, feel like they've already missed out on a lot of the gains, missed the opportunity, and might be getting in too late now. So what is your sense of how much longer this bull market might last?
So based on historical trends, so I've looked back at, you know, all bull markets going back 100 plus years, and the average or the median bull market lasts 30 months and is good for a 90% gain. This market bottomed, you know, October of 2022. That's 537 days ago, or 17.6 months ago. So we're still a relatively young bull. The S&P has gained 50% since that point. The equal-weighted S&P, so the S&P is a cap-weighted index, and obviously it's been driven by these very large, you know, Mag 7 stocks, as they're called. But even the equal-weighted index is up, I think, 36% or so from that low. And more interesting is, since last October, when the market was kind of like teetering a little bit, staring into the abyss of like, what if interest rates, you know, will keep going up? Since that time, October 27th, both the equal weighted and the cap weighted index are up 28%. So really very impressive run. Today we got some red on the screen. You know, the 10-year yield is moving up again because the economy is proving to be quite resilient. So resilient, in fact, that the Fed, you know, may not need to cut rates at all, or maybe only a few times. And the market has sort of weathered that pretty well. So, you know, it's always about interest rates and earnings. And the earnings side is coming through. Earnings are now growing at about a 10% annual clip. Interest rates are not falling, but when earnings are growing, rates don't really need to fall as much as when they're not growing, which of course was the case last year. So all in all, the market continues to build on some pretty good momentum, today's red on the screen notwithstanding.
Okay. Along those lines, I'd love to share a recent Market Sense viewer question with you, Urien. And it came from a retired captain in the U.S. Navy. And he wrote, quote, and he's been watching our show. So he wrote, recently, Market Sense claim we may be backing up into the mid-cycle phase of the business cycle and not approaching a recession. And he asked, do you still think that may be happening? You know, and I'll add a question here. If that is the case, is there any precedent for that kind of change? Or are we now in uncharted waters where we are?
Well, first of all, thank him for his service, or thank you for your service. So it's not typical for a late cycle economy to go back into mid-cycle, but it has happened. But if you think about it, like the seasons of the year, right? After the fall, usually you get winter, and more often than not, that is the case. But there have been cases where late cycle vibes kind of give way back to a more mid-cycle vibe. And those are by definition called the soft landings. And we've had maybe four of them in the last, you know, 50 years. 1994 to 95 was probably the most bullish example of that. So Alan Greenspan, the maestro, as he was called, former chair of the Fed, raised rates quite aggressively in 1994, caused a big, you know, back up in interest rates. The stock market kind of was in limbo for a year, just like it's been over the last few years. And then Greenspan engineered the soft landing and was able to give back some of those rate hikes, and the market just absolutely boomed. And in 95, the S&P went up like 37%, and it continued to go all the way till 1998, and I think it rose 167% over that three-year period. So just a massive bull market. And so far, our market actually is tracking that analog pretty closely. It's up by about the same amount over the period so far. Another one that may be more relevant, and they have to go really back for that, is the late 1960s. So in 1966, there was a soft landing. The yield curve had been inverted. There was definitely a late cycle vibe going on. And back then, it was the guns and butter days of, you know, the entitlement programs were just being launched by President Johnson. Obviously, the Vietnam War was raging. And the Fed backed off as the economy started to teeter a little bit. And it turned out to be kind of premature. But it created that soft landing. But the recession that the yield curve had signaled in 1966 ended up happening in 1970. So it was more of a recession delayed rather than canceled situation. And I'm not predicting we're going to have a recession, but there are some parallels to the 60s in terms of inflation and, you know, government deficits and things like that. So those are two examples of how a late cycle went kind of back to mid-cycle. And in the 1990s, it just stayed there for quite a long time. And in the 60s, it only kind of created a reprieve for a year or so.
All right. So we'll have to see whether current Fed Chairman Jerome Powell can land the plane, execute that soft landing with such precision as Alan Greenspan did. All right, Urien, thank you. So with the market doing so well this year, you know, what that might mean for you, the investor, is you might be looking at more capital gains tax bills in your investment portfolio. And that's the topic for today, as I mentioned, tax strategies for investment income. Before we begin the conversation, I do have to remind viewers that Fidelity does not give specific tax advice, and the information that we are providing is for educational purposes only. If you have specific questions or questions about your specific situation, we always encourage you to talk to your tax advisor in this space. But that said, Leanna, you know, we do spend a lot of time on the show with Jurrien talking about what's happening with the market, talking about what's happening with inflation as a way to help our audience, of course, make informed investment decisions about their portfolios. But you also say it's really crucial to understand the role that taxes may play in your portfolio growth.
It is. That's right. And you're right. We have been talking a lot about market volatility and inflation. That's the concerns I hear most from clients. But when considering your investment strategies, taxes can have a significant impact on your returns, really at any stage of investing. And with tax efficient strategies in place, you may be able to keep more of what you earn and not lose to Uncle Sam. So when it comes to the money invested in non-retirement accounts, so think your brokerage accounts, we talk about the impact taxes can have on your portfolio. And just to give a lay of the land, taxes can come in different types of taxes. So we talk about long-term capital gains. So that's if you're holding investments for longer than 12 months or qualified dividends, taxes could be up to 23.8%. And then if you're a high income earner, you could be subject to an additional 3.8% tax called the net investment income tax on both short and long-term capital gains and on those qualified dividends. And that's not even looking at state or local taxes. Other taxes to consider are short-term capital gains, interest, or ordinary dividends. All of those are subject to the ordinary income tax rates and potential Medicare surtax up to 40% plus. So it can have a major impact on your portfolio. And it's just such an important topic because we always follow this Morningstar study every year. And it cites that the average investor has historically lost up to 2 percentage points per year on investments just due to taxes alone.
Wow, up to 2%. I mean, that could be really painful. And like you said, it's pretty clear to see. It's easy to make the case for just how much this can impact your overall financial picture and your portfolio. Yeah. So let's talk about whether you work with a professional or whether you try a more DIY approach. How do you get started?
So first is just having an understanding of how taxes impact your portfolio. So I just went over the tax rates that there are. But next is just having an understanding of the strategies out there to create a plan that can help potentially, it helps manage taxes, defer taxes altogether, or reducing taxes in your portfolio. So starting with the last two, deferring and reducing, this is really important on where investments are held. So when you hold investments in a tax-deferred account. So think your 401ks, your traditional IRAs, so your individual retirement accounts, or your Roth IRA, 529s, HSAs. These are all accounts that provide tax deferral or even the potential for tax-free growth when we think of those Roth accounts. So when you hold investments in those, all of those accounts allow you to defer or reduce taxes. And when you have that opportunity to defer or reduce, this can then help on those returns and the power of compounding when you're not paying taxes on the investments in there. Now, when you look at holdings in your taxable accounts, so again, non-retirement accounts or brokerage accounts, this is when what comes into play are the capital gains, ordinary income, capital gains on mutual funds. So there are certain investments that are more tax efficient than others. And we'll get into some of those. But just as an example, owning investments such as ETFs are far more tax efficient, or even individual securities versus mutual funds. These are ways that you can help defer, reduce, and just have an understanding of the investments in those accounts.
Okay. And your brokerage will send you a 1099-B form and you'll have to report your earnings along with your regular income there, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so once you have an understanding of how taxes might impact your portfolio, what are some tax-efficient strategies that folks out there might want to consider?
So we just talked about deferring or reducing in some of those tax shelter type of accounts like the IRAs, 401ks, 403bs. But for those non-retirement accounts, the ones that you get that 1099-B for, one of the more common strategies we discuss is tax loss harvesting. And this is a strategy where investors can sell a position at a loss, and then you take that loss to then offset a capital gain somewhere else in your portfolio. So in other words, you're netting those gains and losses. And if you don't have any gains to offset the losses, you can carry forward that loss indefinitely, Or you can also take those losses and offset $3,000 of ordinary income on a tax return. So it can sound complex. I'll just kind of reiterate again, tax loss harvesting is a great strategy out there to take advantage of volatility. No one ever wants a loss, but we can harvest those throughout the year, net them against gains that you may have to, again, keep more of what you earn and not paying those capital gain taxes. Questions I get very often, as many will do this at the end of the year, just taking a look in December and saying, okay, where are my gains? Where are my losses? Let me net them together. But this is a great strategy to do all year round. You just want to keep in mind something called the wash sale rule. And the wash sale rule really keeps investors from selling at a loss and then buying back that same position or one substantially identical. So you're not able to do that. The IRS put the wash sale rule into play where you cannot buy that investment back for 61 days. So getting a little complex there, but tax loss harvesting is just a great strategy out there to help with those capital gains taxes.
Okay. And just a reminder, yeah, another good reason that it's good to have another set of professional eyes, maybe look over what you're doing as well to make sure you're not missing out on anything or paying any kind of a penalty or in violation too. All right, so let's talk about people who may be in retirement, Leanna, and they need to start withdrawing from their portfolio. How do taxes typically impact their needs?
This comes up a lot. You know, a lot of clients come in and say, okay, I've been accumulating and saving, and now it's time for me to have a retirement paycheck, if you will. Like, how do I live off the wealth I've accumulated? And we want to be cognizant of taxes because we can't just withdraw from those tax deferred accounts. That could be a big tax liability. So we work with clients to just have an understanding of what the impact on withdrawing from your portfolio would be and what the tax implication would look like. And if you withdraw, this could impact the level of risk in your account. So we talk through strategies on rebalancing, what investments to sell and when. Many clients also will just live off dividends in retirement or distributions. So there's a lot of strategies out there that we can help with. And I'd say if you are doing this on your own, this is where you could go to Fidelity.com. There's great resources out there to help incorporate some of these tax-sensitive strategies, or you could sit down with a Fidelity planner as well.
Okay, rebalancing, live off dividends. Fantastic suggestions there, Leanna. I just appreciate your clear take on things as we get ready, not only just to file our taxes, but, you know, it's just good information to think about all year long as we are managing our portfolio to make sure we are thinking about those tax smart strategies. All right, Urien, before we go, a lot to talk about. We're going to be getting a lot of data points in the next 2 weeks. Tell us what you're watching.
Yeah, so just to kind of reiterate what I said at the top of the show, you know, the trick for investors is to figure out what the market is worth, and that we do that by calculating the present value of future earnings. And the way you do that is you need to figure out how strong the economy is, therefore how strong the earnings of the companies, of the stocks that we invest in are, and where interest rates are in terms of discounting those cash flows. And so it always comes down to earnings and interest rates. And on the earnings front, you know, we're going to have the jobs report next week. That'll be a good barometer of how well the economy is doing. We actually
Friday, right? The jobs report you're
yes.
in?
Sorry, this week.
This week.
And we just got the ISM report, which is a purchasing manager survey, and that actually flipped back above 50 for the first time in a few years. So that shows resilience. So the economy seems to be doing pretty well, and earnings are reflecting of that. So earnings season starts in 2 weeks, so we'll be looking at that. And of course, next week we'll have the CPI report. We just had the PCE report last week. Inflation, you know, has come down, but it's only come down to about 3%, and it's proving to be pretty sticky there. So it's a balance of growth and inflation, and so far we're kind of threading that needle, and what we're looking at is whether we can continue to do that.
You're such a world traveler, I'm sure. It's tough to remember what week we're on. I was trying to think of an April Fool's joke I could play on you, Urien. I'm going to see you tomorrow in Boston, so Watch out. But yes, it is. It's April 2nd. Thanks, everybody. Remember, if you missed any part of today's discussion and you do want to catch it again, you can watch the replay by going to youtube.com/Fidelity. You can also search the word Market Sense on Fidelity. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can ask us about making a financial plan or just to make sure that you're staying on track by calling us. You can go online or you can go to our website. You can also download Fidelity's app to learn more. On behalf of Urien Timmer and Leanna DeVinny, I'm Heather Hedges. Thanks so much for your time today, and we'll see you back here next week. Remember, we are live Tuesdays at 2 Eastern.
Fidelity does not provide legal or tax advice. The information herein is general and educational in nature and should not be considered legal or tax advice. Tax laws and regulations are complex and subject to change, which can materially impact investment results. Fidelity cannot guarantee the information herein is accurate, complete, or timely. Fidelity makes no warranty with regard to such information or results obtained by its use and disclaims any liability arising out of your use of or any tax position taken in reliance on such information. Consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific situation. Information presented herein is for discussion and illustrative purposes only and is not a recommendation or an offer or solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Views expressed are as of the date indicated based on the information available at that time and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of the Fidelity speaker and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC. To the extent any investment information in this material is deemed to be a recommendation, it is not meant to be impartial investment advice or advice in a fiduciary capacity and is not intended to be used as a primary basis for you or your client's investment decisions. Fidelity and its representatives may have a conflict of interest in the products or services mentioned in this material because they have a financial interest in them and receive compensation directly or indirectly in connection with the management, distribution, or servicing of these products or services, including Fidelity funds, certain third-party funds and products, and certain investment services. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Diversification and or asset allocation do not ensure profit or protect against loss. Stock markets are volatile and can fluctuate significantly in response to company, industry, political, regulatory, market, or economic developments. Investing in stocks involves risks, including loss of principal. Foreign markets can be more volatile than U.S. markets due to the increased risks of adverse issuer, political, market, or economic developments, all of which are magnified in emerging markets. These risks are particularly significant for investments that focus on a single country or region. Fixed income investments entail interest rate risk. As interest rates rise, bond prices usually fall. The risk of issuer or counterparty default, issuer credit risk, and inflation risk. Foreign securities are subject to interest rate, currency exchange rate, economic, and political risks, all of which are magnified in emerging markets. It is not possible to invest directly in an index. Fidelity Wealth Services provides non-discretionary financial planning and discretionary investment management through one or more portfolio advisory services accounts for a fee. ETFs are subject to market fluctuation and the risks of their underlying investments. ETFs are subject to management fees and other expenses. Unlike mutual funds, ETF shares are bought and sold at market price, which may be higher or lower than their NAV, and are not individually redeemed from the fund. Advisory services offered by Fidelity Personal and Workplace Advisors LLC, FPWA, a registered investment advisor. Discretionary portfolio management services provided by Strategic Advisors LLC, Strategic Advisors, a registered investment advisor. Brokerage services provided by Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, FSB, and custodial and related services provided by National Financial Services LLC, NFS, each a member NYSE and SIPC. FPWA, FBS, and NFS are Fidelity Investments companies. This information is intended to be educational and is not tailored to the investment needs of any specific investor. Personal and workplace investment products are provided by Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE SIPC, 900 Salem Street, Smithfield, Rhode Island, 02917.